promise of God. Not going to pull the vilest offender who truly believes that hope from Jesus,
pardon receives.
Sing the chorus, hear the Lord of Harvest sweetly calling, who will go and work for me, who will bring to me lost and dying, who will point them to the narrow way. It's number 559. Amen. 559.
Hear the Lord of Harvest. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. The Lord bless each one tonight. And we'll give everyone a warm welcome that's came out tonight. May the Lord bless you. I wouldn't say I have a sermon tonight, but just some thoughts I want to share on healing and about the disciples. And I want to thank everyone for your prayers for Monday night. And maybe everybody didn't get on to watch, but Brother Matt the next morning said there was 1,000 views on that evening. And you know, saying to Mark, you don't know what God's doing. But when I worked with Gordon Wallace and I worked with John Wallace and the co-laureate, John was Gordon's brother, and John wasn't saved. And I remember one day he said for me, run in there and get me a packet of cigars. And I said, no, I won't. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, if I go in there and get you a pack of cigars, the boy in that shop will think I'm smoking them. But I'm not smoking them. And they're stinking. So I said, if you want them and you want to smell like smoke, you run in yourself and get them. And he didn't like that, but he run in himself, or I didn't go in. And he chewed garlic. And between the smell of the garlic and the cigars, but I witnessed him anyhow, and I used to keep singing that wee song, keep falling in love with him over and over again. I don't even know all of it. But John's wife woke him one morning, and she says, John, what are you doing? And he says, what do you mean? She says, you're singing about falling in love with him over and over again. And then he says to me, you're brainwashing me. I says, I hope it's working. But he got saved. John, I heard, got saved. And on Monday night, Gordon's, John's brother, he had him on singing on the thing on Monday night. So you just never know what happens. And then, you know, a while back, I was working on a wee job and there's a wee young fella there. Alistair's his first name. He's 21, but he's a droll 21. He's a farmer background. And he mentioned a certain policeman. He said, well, you know, and I won't mention his name, but he mentioned this man's name. I says, I know him well, he's a good friend of mine. He got my 30 months in the Crumlin Road. But I says, will you see him? And he says, I will. And I says, ask him, is he still that card I wrote him 35 years ago? When he come in the Monday, he says, Tommy, he is still that card. And he says, the police, the call come through, stop the chase, somebody's going to be killed. And I heard he's got saved as well. So when you sow a seed, and it's nothing to do with me, anybody getting saved. I was thinking when Gary picked that song tonight, you know, it was coming to me. No man cometh unto me, except my Father draweth him. No man can know him, save to him whom the Son will reveal him. And if God doesn't draw, they'll not come. It's good preaching doesn't do it. You could have a man that's not a good preacher and people could get saved. And you could have the best preacher ever and nobody gets saved. It's down to God. Isn't it? But the Lord bless. I want to thank you for praying. I thought it was funny when Gordon said to me, like, your dad was a wee fella. But I didn't really think my dad was wee. Like, he must have been close to 6 foot tall. And I said he was always about 18 or 19 stone, as long as I remember him. So he was not small of a lad. But Gordon was amazed that he could lift the 10 stone, 140-pound bag up and set it on the back of the wagon for him. But there's so many wonderful things, and to think where my dad was living when I grew up, and then to think how God changed him. It's a miracle, isn't it? Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight, and I want to emphasize on faith, and I've no sermon notes as such, just scriptures, and I have loads and loads of scriptures, too many scriptures, but I'm not apologizing. I was thinking, you know, the day, if you just read the Bible, it'll clean you. Because Jesus says you're now clean through the words I've spoken to you. And he's the same. And it'll heal you. And if you believe it, it'll save you. So God's word's powerful. But we're looking at healing in the Gospels, and we're wanting to trust and obey, and I want to just think tonight on the necessity of faith. And we sometimes say, boy, we're not saying this, we're not saying that, we're not saying something else. But maybe we're having enough faith. Maybe God is amongst us at times, but we've no faith. And we have to have faith. And the Bible said if there's no faith, nothing's going to happen. There has to be faith. And even when you get saved, you have to have faith. For by grace through faith are you saved. So we need faith. Let's stand and we'll read one verse and then I'm going to pray. But let's just stand for change for a moment. I'll just read one verse. I'm going to read more verses. But Mark 2 verse 3. And we're thinking of the necessity, how faith is necessary. It's a necessity, it's necessary. I know every one of us has given to measure faith, but we need to exercise it. Let's read verse 3 of Mark 2. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born afore. Let's bow our heads. And if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up to the Lord this evening. God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this evening for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've shown toward each and every one of us. Lord, not one of us is worthy, but it's through your righteousness, through the imputation of the righteousness of God, given to us freely by the sacrifice of your Son on the cross, we can come tonight. And Lord, we come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, I plead the blood of the Lamb on every one in this room and everyone they're thinking about and all that's near and dear to us, I plead the blood of the Lamb of God tonight. And I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I bind every work of the devil and I pray for every hand raised that you'll meet every single need. For I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Don't forget, pray for me as well. Saturday night I'm preaching our address, Mission Hall, at 7:30, 8:00. And Brother Gad be preaching for us on Sunday and myself Sunday night. Pray for the services and the Lord bless each one. This is a tremendous scripture. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy. And we know that sick of the palsy is palsy can mean paralyzed. And if you look at chapter 2 of Mark we're in. But go to verse 5 to 12 and I'm going to read it for you. And Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies, who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why ye reason these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed and went before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion. Here we see that he tells this man, your sins are forgiven. Now, if you were to go to Luke 5, verse 17, it's one of my favorite portions. That's the scripture I preached on years ago. The power of the Lord was present to heal Elizabeth, the sick of the palsy as well. So in Mark, it says, thy sins are forgiven thee. And I'm mentioning Luke because in Luke, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, yet withal, the Lord was questioned. There was unbelief there. The scribes and the Pharisees weren't saying amen. They were saying oh me. They weren't for the Lord. I love the way Jack Cole used to talk about them. Jack Cole said there were Sadducees and Pharisees. Sadducees and Pharisees. And there's still Sadducees and the Pharisees. And there's people don't want to see God working and God moving. And somebody that's got faith and believes it, they won't say amen till it'll be oh me. But the power of God was present to heal. And the Lord Jesus had power to forgive sins. I tell you, it's not wonderful. And you know he got in trouble because of that. Because they said, who can forgive sins? Only God. But Jesus Christ was God in flesh. He was God's answer to this world's sin problem. Jesus Christ was. He was the only way, the truth, and the life. But God wants us to have faith. God wants us to believe. Look at chapter 6 of Mark, verse 5 and 6. And he could do there no mighty miracles, no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. So Jesus, that did mighty miracles in one place, could go to another place and not much happened because of unbelief. So it is absolutely, abundantly clear. And we're not looking at a prophet or some good man. Tonight, Jesus Christ, the man here we're looking at. And you'll have to agree with me this evening. You could pick fault in men. You might agree with all the doctrines. And all of us could be the same. But here's the Lord Jesus we're talking about. And there's no faults can be picked in him. For he's perfect. And he's saying, there's not much could happen because of their unbelief. So many times people say, we need the Lord to come amongst us and move. And if the Lord was amongst some people, it would make no difference to them. Because they're full of unbelief. And there the Lord here was amongst them. But he wasn't doing, he couldn't, not that he couldn't, their unbelief. They didn't believe him to do it. We need to believe God. That God can do it. God can do far above what we think or asked. Now come with me on down. And you know, and he marveled, it says, on of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Jesus was a teacher and a preacher. Amen. And he was a healer. I'll tell you, he was special, wasn't he? Mark chapter 5, verse 34 to 36. And he said unto her, daughter, and I'm deliberately reading these scriptures to get a point across what I believe God wants us to know. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. So right away, as soon as I read this, you can see where there's no faith, the Lord himself couldn't work. And where there's faith, he can work. Now, if you and me are going to work, and we have to work, the Holy Spirit comes in us and gives us power. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Now, the Lord Jesus couldn't work in some places, and in other places, there's great faith, and he worked. Well, then, surely, we're going to be the same. We're going to need help, aren't we? We're going to need God's people to have faith that something can happen and them to believe God. And I'll tell you, Brother Yule used to say it years ago, no matter if you took somebody to a wee meeting or a mission and if they weren't saved and there was a good message preached, I'll tell you it didn't take long till the devil tried to steal that seed. Any wee distraction at all, so many things just to steal the seed. And that so many people come so close, but they go no further. Like I preached about that message in Egypt. Pharaoh said, yes, can go out. Yes, can go out, but your wives can't go and your children can't go. And you're only allowed to go out so far and you must come back. He wouldn't let go. And I tell you, if God's people in 2025 would really get a hold of God and let loose, and go right out. Don't just go so far. Go the full way of God. Anything's possible. Now, he's here. He says to her, go in peace and be whole of the plague. This woman of the plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. So he's done a mighty miracle here, and then the next thing, somebody's coming for prayer, and somebody's dead, and people are still, you know, what are you going to do? They're dead. And Jesus says, only believe. Only believe. He opens the blinded eyes. He stops the deaf ears. He raises the dead. But brothers and sisters, tonight we need a real revelation that he is really the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13 and 8. So that means if he ever opened blinded eyes once, he can do it again. If he raised the dead once, he can do it again, because he remains the same. Malachi 3 and 6 says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Not the I was, the I am. He's the same. Here in John 11 verse 40, John 11 verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Now I'm deliberately reading these scriptures. I'm not getting into all the story of it, because I'm emphasizing what I want, what I believe God wants us to get, that we need to believe. You say, I'm saved and I believe. Yes, we're saved and we believe. But God wants us to believe further for miracles, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for the manifestation of God's power amongst us. God wants us to believe further that we can see people saved. Amen. That we're lit up a light. Hallelujah. Now, I'll tell you what the problem is. There's people and they go into a bright room and they light lights in it. You don't need light lights in a bright room. It's already lit. Lights need to be lit in a dark room. T.L. Osborne had a wonderful saying, and I believe it so much. And I have a big respect for T.L. Osborne. I believe he's a mighty man of God. T.L. Osborne said, you need to go for the sinner's hour. And I've heard people saying, I wouldn't go there, and I wouldn't do this, and I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't go on to this, and I wouldn't go on to that. I want to tell you, Jesus went everywhere. And I'm going to tell you more, Jesus commissioned us to go everywhere. Because Jesus says, go ye into all the world. Amen. Jesus didn't say, you better stop short. He didn't say that. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Look at the Lord Jesus. He's coming down the road, and there's the wee boy up the tree. And he says, Zacchaeus, I'm dying at your house today. And they says, does he know who he is? Imagine going down to his house. He went with the drunkards. He went with the tax collectors. Amen? And Brother John's preached about Peter, and I've preached about Peter. And you know yourselves, Peter cursed and all sorts of stuff. Peter's a rough boy. Peter was no goody two-shoes. Peter's the fella that took the sword out and took the boy's ear off. Peter's the boy that cursed and denied the Lord three times. Peter's the boy that went back fishing when the Lord took him from fishing. But Peter's still the same boy in Acts 2. On Acts 1, when he stood up with boldness and said, these scriptures preaching from the book of Joel, chapter 2, must needs be fulfilled. That I'll pour out my spirit upon my sons and my daughters and upon my handmaidens. Amen. They'll dream dreams and prophesy and so forth. Peter's the same man. God changed him. Now, I tell you, obedience is necessary. I wrote this. Obedience is necessary. God wants us to be obedient to him. Amen. Look at the words of the Lord Jesus, Mark 3, verse 5. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and his hand restored whole as the other. So here's a man with a withered hand, and nobody believed. Nobody believed. And I tell you, we need to be believing that God can do anything. Amen? He's a supernatural God, isn't he? And I tell you, the Lord said, stretch forth out your hand, and he done it. And he's made whole. In Mark 2, verse 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. So here's a man on the bed, and he couldn't walk or do nothing. But the Lord tells him, stand up and on you go. That was people today, they'd be watching saying, I tell you that he never got healed. You see, people's following men. We're all guilty of it at times in our life. I'm guilty of myself. But I want to be following Jesus. Amen? I told you before, and I won't mention the man's name, but there's a powerful man, and he was a powerful man. He had a powerful ministry. And he came to Northern Ireland years ago. I think Brother Yule went, some other brothers went. And I'll be honest with you, I cried in my bedroom. I'm telling you the honest truth, I cried. And I got down before God and I cried because I wanted to go and hear that man. And God spoke to me. God spoke to me clearly. And God said to me, you don't need to go and follow any man. I can send you. Now I know people say, well, that boy done this and that, and what have you done? I've done nothing. It's only Jesus can do it anyhow. But I believe God. We need to believe God to use us. Are you hearing me tonight? It's easy to say, oh, God needs to move the pastor. God needs to move one of them elders or one of them deacons. What about God moving us? Yourself? What about one's own self? God needs to move every one of us as individuals. Amen. And I tell you, that's what we want. Look at John 9, verse 7. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. By interpretation, sent. And he went his way therefore and washed, and he came saying. Now you know the whole story around this. How were their eyes open? A man called Jesus. And you know they said to him, they brought his parents in. Don Francisco, how many's ever heard him singing? He sings this Bible story about the blind man. He brought in his parents and he grilled them for a while. It's all Bible. And he says, tell him, who have sinned, this man or his parents? He says, neither, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And people's quick to say somebody sinned and they're sick, but what about this fella here that's blind? The Lord said he's blind, basically, that I can heal him, that I can work my power in this man. That's why the Lord done it. I tell you, we need the power of God, don't we? You'll not get it from some other man, you'll get it from the Lord. Jesus' last words, before his ascension. Jesus' last words. Now, Jesus Christ gave the commission to all. To the evangelists, to all believers, to heal in the name of Jesus Christ, to receive power after his ascension. He gave the commission. He gave the command. It is known in the Bible as a promise of the Father. When he, the Holy Ghost, is come, he will give you power over all the power of the enemy. Amen. And not just for the disciples, but these signs is not just for the evangelists, but all that believe. Now we'll read it, Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Do you believe tonight? Then the signs can follow. Amen? In my name, they shall cast out devils. See, many times, I want to really get this over the night. Somebody could be listening to this. I want to get this really point across. I feel in my spirit to do it. Too often people are waiting. If we could call such a brother, you know, he'd pray a great prayer. And everything would be all right. But that brother, whoever he is only a man like yourself or a woman like your own self. And the Bible says God's no respecter of persons. You remember the story, and I remember hearing at Christ for All Nations, there was a wee woman and she was in the wheelchair and she couldn't do her gardening or anything. And she's in one of Bunky's meetings, but she never got to Bunky to pray for her. She wanted to, but she'd been in the meeting and she wasn't healed. But she's in a wee Sunday school class. And one wee fella, he prayed for her. And God healed her. And he's only a wee slip of a lad. And he prayed for her and God healed her. And you know when people tell the story about the man raised from the dead in Bunky's meetings, Bunky never prayed for him. Did you know that? People tell it and it's told that Bunky prayed for him and he's raised up. Well, that's not how it was. He didn't even get into the stadium. He went underneath it. The police were checking the vehicles getting in lest somebody was carrying in a bomb. And they brought him under the stadium. And the people that were there, deacons or whoever they were there, they prayed for that man. And God raised him from the dead. Bunky tells about it. Bunky was preaching. But it wasn't Bunky himself come down and prayed for him. It was the people around him that prayed for him. And you know the Lord called 12 disciples. And then another place he called 70. And they had the power of God. We'll all agree with that. But what about the people that was casting devils out? That weren't them 12 or weren't them 70. And the disciples, they'd got religious, hadn't they? They maybe they were thinking of forming the denomination like they were up in the mount. Let us build 3 tabernacles here. One for Moses and Elijah and one for the Lord. But the voice from heaven sorted that out, didn't it? This is my son whom I'm well pleased, hear him. But these fellows were casting devil out and they're going to stop him. Jesus said, such the one doesn't speak lightly of me. God has many other people that we don't know about. And God can use whoever he wants. God will use any person that puts faith in him. I'll tell you that now. If you put your faith in the Lord, I'm not saying you'll all be called the preachers and things like that. That's what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about every individual, son and daughter of God, can be used of God. And they can pray for somebody. You need to step out of your comfort zone and do it. Amen. It says that they'll lay hands on the sick in the name and they'll cast out devils and speak with new tongues and they shall tick up serpents and if they drink any deadly thing it won't hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. May God work with us. Without him we're hopeless. We need him, don't we? And confirming the word with signs following. Now we want God to confirm his word. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So we are not to have any fear. The Lord has promised he will be with us. Amen. The Lord will be with us. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know I've told this many times. I'm going to tell it again. And I might tell it 1,000 times again. I don't know. But it amazes me, my own self. Not serving God, away from God. Living for the devil. Doing all sorts of things wrong. Deep in sin. And yet God comes and the Spirit of God says, I love you and give myself for you. I love you. Then when the devil tells you, God doesn't love you, things are not going well, he wants to depress you. But you need to know tonight, if God loved you, when you weren't washed in his blood, you weren't clean, you weren't serving him, he still loves you tonight when you are following him and washed in the blood of Jesus. The Lord loves you. Aren't you glad? It's not like the monitor that goes up and down. She flows the same. So high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get around it. God loves you the same. Oh, but brother, you don't know how I feel him. He still loves you the same. It's unchanging. God's love's unchanging. Now my time's going, but let me go to the book of Acts for a few moments this evening, just to read you some more scriptures. Acts 1, verse 4, 5, and 8. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For truly, truly John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Ye shall receive power. Now we know there was healing in the early church, and there was healing through the apostles. God moved in the early church, and God moved with the apostles. And after the Holy Spirit promise was poured out, healing was continued in the ministry of the church and the ministry of the apostles. What are you saying, brother? I've showed you already what Jesus did when he's here on earth. But now I'm showing you, we're up to the book of Acts. Jesus Christ has went back to the Father, back to heaven. But the Holy Spirit's been sent, the promise of the Father. And the Holy Spirit's coming the day of Pentecost. And the church now is working and doing the things Jesus done. And the apostles are now working, and they're doing the things Jesus done. So the ministry of Jesus is continuing. That's why I told you it keeps going. This is the thing about it. It's not when you hear of you need a certain man's a mantle and all this. You need the mantle of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the only mantle you'll ever need. Amen. And I'll ever need. That's the one we want. The mantle of the Holy Ghost. The ministry, it's a ministry of Jesus. You know, we've all done it. Brother So-and-ho had a great ministry. It was a ministry of Jesus in that brother. That's why people said that we saw Jesus in that man, because it was the Lord doing it. But he's still working. He hasn't retired. This is the thing about it. When people limit God off on a date, we're at the end now. There you are. His hands is tied now. We're at the end. Nothing's going to happen. I don't believe that. We need to have a desire that we want God to move in our time like he moved in other times. And we need to be hungry for God. After the Holy Spirit poured out, look at Peter and John in Acts 3, 7 and 9. And we sing about, Brother Gary sings this song, going up to the gate, the prayer meeting. And they meet this lame man, silver and gold have none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now this year only at chapter 3, and they've only received the Holy Spirit baptism, and already the power of God's working, and they're believing it. These fellas have got something. Now we talk about being real apostolic and restored back, but I tell you, brothers and sisters, we need a real dose of the baptism. We need the power of God. There's no point in having a wee cliche of a saying. We want what they have in reality, not just in a couple of words. We want it. We need to have it. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing, when we get it, we'll not have to say we're Pentecostal. We're apostolic. You'll not need a sign to tell nobody. I'll tell you, Peter and John didn't need a sign, we're Pentecostal. I tell you, they had the power of God on them. They didn't need no sign. The power of God was working with them. Then you go down till Acts 4, verse 4 and verse 29 to 30. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's a move of God, isn't it? 5,000. Amen? And now the Lord beheld their threatenings and offering, and he stretched forth his hand with signs and wonders. They beat them. They didn't come up and say, hey, boys, will you come over to our group? No. No, there was none of that. They beat them and they whipped them. They even forbid them to preach in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what. People talk about getting banned from street preaching and stuff, and that's all good. But I'll tell you what. Let's be honest about it. If we go out tonight and do what the apostles done in the streets, and raise the dead and heal the sick and cleanse people in the name of Jesus Christ and go forward. Will that adequate point somebody out and preach at them? No, we need to go like the apostles went. We need to go for the Holy Spirit takes us. Philip was led in the Spirit and he jumped up onto the chariot and he preached unto your fellow. The Ethiopian eunuch, didn't he? And he says, where are you reading from? And he says, Isaiah. And he says, you know what you're reading about? No, but I need somebody to tell me. But Peter was there to tell him. He preached Christ on them, didn't he? And they got the chariot stopped and he baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Ghost catches them away to somewhere else. That's the power of God. That's a real thing. There's a fellow there, you don't know where he's going. The Bible says, him that's led, his spirit's like the wind. You can't tell whether he's coming or going. Glory! Isn't the Lord good? I'm almost finished. Look at these apostles, Acts 5, verse 12 to 16. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them in beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter. Now I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, that it's outstanding.
Yes, amen.
The shadow of Peter. He never touched them or preached to them, but he walked past and his shadow, they were healed. That's the power of God. You know, when William Branham visited Durban, South Africa, and they took him down through it, people and couches and cots were healed, and he never prayed for one of them. You know what that is? It's a move of God. That's what that is. It's a move of God. That's not so that you'll put a man up on a big picture up here, and you'll be worshipping him. It's Jesus Christ that's the picture we're worshipping. He's the one. And I don't mean a physical picture, you know what I'm meaning. It's the power of God. But I tell you, these are outstanding things. And overshadowed them. And there came also the multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed, one clean spirits, and they healed every single one of them. Stephen in Acts 6:8. Philip in Acts 8. And you can go right on through the book of Acts. I went through it the other night and marked every single place I could find. For them apostles worked, they haven't time to go through it all the night. And I deliberately say, I'll just do it in the Bible, and then I won't even need this thing here. But it's the book of Acts, we need to read it. We need to read the book of Acts from cover to cover, and then keep reading it again from cover to cover. Amen. Let's come and pray tonight. I trust the Lord's given you something, and God's good, isn't it? Amen. Let's believe God. It's not outstanding. Here's Peter, and he's walking down the street, and a shadow goes past somebody, and they're healed. I tell you, that's something. That's the real power of God. There's wee prayer handkerchiefs on that table that's been prayed over with the brethren in this assembly. And I'm telling you, they can be put on somebody, and if they really believe, God can do it. God can heal them because he's the same. Not because any special person's praying on him. It's God that does it. Let's come and seek in the night. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word of truth. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll bless your word till our hearts. Help every one of us. Lord, help us to use the gifts you've given us and the faith you've given us. For Lord, we know that every one of us is given a measure of faith. Help us to be a people of faith that will move in faith, that will go out of our comfort zone for you. Help us, Lord, move for your spirit amongst us. Move on me, Auntie Eileen, tonight. She mightn't be in this room, but we send your word over her tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every demon of cancer and infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And we pray for your touch upon her life, upon her body, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord, you've healed her before. Heal her again. Lord, for others tonight that need your touch, maybe somebody in this room, maybe someone listening in. Father, I'm asking you that you'll touch people in the name of Jesus Christ, even me, Lord. Let your miracle power come upon our bodies. Lord, that this flesh might match the word of God. Grant it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless your people now as they seek you in Jesus' precious name. Father, for the services that lay ahead, have your way. Move your spirit. Bring the unsaved in and move, Lord, we're praying. Get us our own place, Lord, where we don't have this peculiar around us and every sign here. Occult symbols and all this stuff. Help us to have a house that we can call the house of God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as we continue.